Dr. Christian's office.
Vaseline Program, the only show on radio where the audience writes the script. And tonight, Devon, Connecticut contributes the winner. It's a prize play called Mr. Sourpuss by schoolteacher Evelyn Holmer of 65 Housatonic Drive. Gene Hirschold is starred as Dr. Christian, and Rosemary DeCamp plays Judy Pryor. Ladies, if some good fairy could transform your hair with a wave of a magic wand, what would you wish for? Well, chances are, all you'd want would be to have your hair attractively softer, silken smooth, and topped with a bright, lustrous sheen. You'd want to bring out the natural beauty of your hair. Well, actually, ladies, for that, it isn't magic you want. It's Vaseline Hair Tonic. Tonight, give your hair this simple Vaseline Hair Tonic Glamour treatment. Before shampooing, massage the scalp briskly with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. Next, steam your hair and scalp thoroughly by wrapping a piping hot towel around your head for several minutes. And then after the shampoo, brush on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic as you would a brilliantine. This Vaseline Hair Tonic Glamour treatment, used regularly, supplements natural scalp oils, checks dry scalp, helps keep your hair always soft and glossy, shimmering with natural highlights. Give your hair this Vaseline Hair Tonic Glamour treatment tonight. Get a bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic. And so to our delightful play, Mr. Sourpuss. And it begins in Dr. Christian's familiar office in the old white house on the corner of State Street and the River Road in Rivers End, USA.
Ann Summers called. Dr. Christian asked if you would have time to talk with her a few minutes.
I think so, Judy. Is it the young Candy she's worried about?
Oh, no. Candy's okay, which is a mighty good thing. Ann would go crazy if anything happened to her. Since her sister died, Ann has cared for Candy as if she were her own daughter.
Let me see. What is the story there? The little girl's father is still in Tokyo, isn't he?
Yes, he's been overseas for more than 2 years. Candy is all he has left now, so of course that makes her a big responsibility for Anne.
But one which Anne can manage beautifully, especially with as capable a woman as Mrs. Taylor to keep house for her.
Oh, yes. Without Mrs. Taylor, Anne would have to give up her work at the hospital. And that would be a pity, because she certainly is an ideal nurse.
I wonder what she wants to see me about.
Oh, that's Anne now.
Oh, come in, Anne.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, and Candy. Hello.
How do you do, Dr. Christian? Isn't it funny we're coming to see you? And we're not sick at all.
I think Anne wants to talk with Dr. Christian, Candy. Suppose you come into my office. Have you seen my new Siamese kitten? Her name is Buck.
Oh, I'm very fond of kittens, Judy.
Sit down, Anne. I always enjoy a visit from one of my neighbors.
I'm so glad you have time for me, Doctor. It's not about myself I've come. It's about one of my patients at the hospital, Elliot Kenyon.
Kenyon, the writer of children's stories?
Yes. He calls himself Elliot Brown at the hospital, but most of us know who he is. He was badly hurt when his bomber crash-landed, Dr. Christian, but, well, he should be practically well now.
Then I don't see why...
That's just the point, Dr. Christian. He should be well, but he isn't. I ran across an article about him in an old magazine, and it described him as witty and gay, just the kind of person you'd expect to write those delightful children's stories.
You ran across an article, Anne?
Mm-hmm.
Why, Anne, you're blushing. Oh, forgive a clumsy old man.
That's all right, Doctor. He must have been such a fine person, though, but it seemed a great pity. When you look at him now, his eyes are sort of, well, dead. You get a feeling of a light gone out.
So men come back from this war very much changed, Anne.
Oh, but Elliot, I mean Lieutenant Kenyon, won't even see his friends. He doesn't even seem interested in his writing anymore. Dr. Sturtevant is really anxious about him, and he wants you to come in on the case.
Dr. Sturtevant is an old friend of mine. I think I would like to see that patient of yours. Suppose I drive you to the hospital tomorrow morning.
Oh, I knew I could count on you, Dr. Christian.
And bring Anne along, Candy. Candy along Anne. It's
yes.
Just a hunch, but I have an idea we may need her.
Will you take us to Lieutenant Kenyon now, Miss Summers? I'd like to have Dr. Christian talk with him.
He's out on the west porch, I believe, Dr. Sturdivant.
And where's Candy Ann? I had more or less counted on her to break the ice for us.
Well, she was here just a minute ago. Oh, she must have ducked off somewhere on her own. I'll see if I can find her.
Well, right out this door, Dr. Christian. And remember, to outsiders, he's Lieutenant Brown. There's the patient in the first recliner. Oh, Lieutenant Brown, this is Dr. Christian, an old friend and teacher under whom I interned at River's End.
Hello, Doctor.
How do you do?
Dr. Christian has been checking over your x-rays with me, and he is as satisfied with them as I am.
Yes, indeed, Lieutenant. In a very short time, you will be walking so well, no one will guess you had ever been hurt. You had a mighty lucky escape.
Sure, sure, I'm a lucky guy.
Well, you came mighty close to losing both legs.
And you medics have patched me up in fine style. All right, so I am grateful. Is that what you wanted me to say?
Oh, now, come now, Lieutenant. We didn't come out here to pick a quarrel with you. The fact is, we were discussing the matter of getting you away from here. It's about time you had a little change from hospital atmosphere.
One place is as good as another.
I have quite a large house in Riversend, and my housekeeper is an excellent cook. I'd like very much to have you stay with me for 2 or 3 weeks, Lieutenant.
Look, Doctor, I appreciate your attempted kindness, but why in heaven's name can't people leave me alone? That's all I ask. Just leave me alone.
Anything you say, old boy, but you don't know what you're missing. Well, come along, Dr. Christian. There are one or two other patients I'd like to discuss with you.
Hello. Are you Mr. Sourpuss?
Hey, what are you doing on that railing? Look out, you'll fall off.
No, I won't. I can skip, see?
You're coming off of there at once.
I could have done it. If you'd been better acquainted with me, you would have known. You have a nice smile. I'm Candy. Camille Devereaux is my whole name, but everyone calls me Candy. Why do you have such a funny name? Mr. Sourpuss.
Who said that was my name?
They did, in there. Not Anne, though. She called you something else. I forget what.
And who's Anne?
Anne's my aunt who I live with. Not always. Just while my daddy's away in the service. My mom is dead. She's been in heaven for a long time.
Well, I'm glad to know you, Candy. Whoop. Stand very still. That bee is close to your hand there.
I'm not afraid of bees. I used to be, but not anymore. Not since I've heard the story about him. That's just Mr. Buzzy. Buzzy? I forget the rest of his name.
Mr. Buzzy Rumblebumble.
That's it, Rumblebumble. He works hard all day long, and then he goes home to... How did you know his name? Did Anne read you the story, too?
No, Anne didn't read it to me, but I do know the story.
Here's Anne now, and Dr. Christian.
We've been looking everywhere for you, Candy. Dr. Christian is going to drive you home with him.
Mr. Sourpuss knows all about Mr. Buzzy Rumblebumble. He's very nice. I like him.
I'm so sorry, Lieutenant. I don't know where she picked that up. Candy, this is Lieutenant Brown. You must never call him anything else.
Oh, don't scold her. It's my own sins that have come home to roost. I didn't realize I'd been making so much of a nuisance of myself.
Oh, it isn't as bad as all that. Besides, we can take it.
Seriously, though, I think the hospital staff needs a vacation from me. Dr. Christian, is that offer still open?
It most certainly is.
Then I'd like very much to come.
Dr. Christian, why are you sitting out here on the porch in the dark all by yourself? I've been in the kitchen getting your cook's recipe for that peanut and raisin salad. It was delicious. Where's everybody?
Everybody? Well, Elliot is walking home with Anne and Candy.
Oh, it's been a very pleasant evening, Doctor. Your lieutenant has come a long way in 2 weeks. Just goes to show what a little home cooking and a smattering of attention will do. By tonight, he was as gay and witty as could be.
Yes, he has improved considerably, Judy.
Candy adores him, and he's been wonderful with her.
Just like being her own delightful self. Candy has done more for him than she'll ever know.
Hmm. Elliot thinks the world of Anne, too. Did you see his face as he watched her across the table?
I know, Julian. That's one more reason why we must make him completely himself again.
Oh, then you aren't satisfied with him, hmm?
Oh, frankly, no. On the surface, for occasions like this, He appears entirely normal. But there are days when he shuts himself up in his room for hours at a time.
Oh.
There must be some very terrible experience at the root of his sickness, Judy. Ah, I wish I could get him to tell me about it.
He's turning up the walk now. I'll step away and give you a chance to talk with him.
Oh, hello, Dr. Christian. Enjoying the moonlight all by yourself?
Yes, Elliot. Won't you join me for a while?
There were nights like this, peaceful and calm over Germany and France. Bomber's moon, we called it. Darn, I didn't see that ashtray.
Oh, it doesn't matter. There's not a match. Let me hold it for you.
I don't know why my hands are shaking like this. It only happens now and then.
Anne's a pretty wonderful girl, isn't she, Elliot?
Too wonderful for me, Doctor. You don't know how close I came to telling her tonight. Telling her how I felt about her. But I have no right to tell her.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Elliot Kenyon, famous children's author, is certainly all that any girl might desire.
You know them?
Yes, Anne told me. I wanted so much to tell you what a fine thing you've done in writing those stories, Elliot. Why, there isn't a child in Riversend who doesn't know your old lady Flatbill, the grandmother duck, or Mr. Google Eyes, the conceited little frog. That's why I can't understand why you are hiding under an incognito.
I was born a Brown. Kenyon is the pen name.
Oh, but you are hiding.
All right, Doctor, I'll admit it. You see, you and all my friends and the publishers, they're all going to expect me to be Elliot Kenyon and to go on working as usual. Doctor, I'm not Elliot Kenyon anymore.
Probably take you a little time before you get at your writing again.
I'm never going to write again. I can't. I wish I could make you understand, Doctor. Before the war, I was an easygoing guy like any other American fellow. I had a feeling that, well, as a poem by Browning it expresses it, it begins, the year's at the spring, and it ends, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. And that's how it was with me. God's in his heaven. Later came the lucky break of the Kenyon books. Writing and illustrating those crazy little stories used to be as easy as falling off a log. Profitable, too.
I should think it would be.
When the war came, I knew it would be a rotten business, but... Dr. Christian, it's one thing to talk about hell. It's another to see it. For a year, I piloted a bomber in raids over France and Germany. Our last mission was to take out a munitions factory in a small French town still in German hands. We hit our target satisfactorily, but caught a burst of flak as we pulled away. The plane was badly riddled and on fire. I knew there was nothing to do but try to take it down and in a hurry. And I did. When I came to, I was in the home of Francois, an old Frenchman. He and his wife had dressed my wounds as best they could and had sent their grandson Pierre to notify the underground of my whereabouts. It was very pleasant to me and very kind. Only I sensed an undercurrent of something I couldn't quite understand.
They were afraid for you, I suppose.
On the last day of my stay there, I learned the reason why. I'd been lying on my cot, half asleep and half groggy with morphine, when I heard the voice of a small boy shouting half in French and half in broken English.
You little American! You killed my mom, Pierre. You hear? You kill my mother here. I hate you. I hate you.
Pierre, you must not talk like this. It is not his fault. It was the fault of Le Boche. But pardon, monsieur. The little grandson does not know what he is saying.
But is it true what he says? Is it true?
Oh, please do not excite, monsieur. It is not good.
I've got to know.
Eh bien. Oui, monsieur. It is too true. I would not for the world that I do know. But mon pauvre petit enfant... It all come out of him. The day of the raid, the child's mother was in the village. And when the bomb hit the factory, the how you call it, the shelter, it broke up too.
You see, Dr. Christian, it had been my job to make kids laugh.
I still think that the best way for you to forget all this is to try to write again. Even if it doesn't seem to work out right at first.
Don't you think I've tried, Doctor? I can't, that's all. I can't even make those crazy little animal cartoons I used to do. The French child's voice keeps ringing in my ears. I can't shake it.
Oh, thousands of boys have had similar experiences in the war. Oh, but you're tired tonight, Elliot. What you need right now is rest. Believe me, there's nothing abnormal about your condition. Nothing that time and nature cannot heal.
I want to believe that, Doctor.
You'll be flying smooth again one of these days. Never fear.
I wish I had your optimism, Dr. Christian. I'd hate to disappoint you.
Elliot! Elliot! I'm glad you're home, Elliot. I'm writing a letter to my daddy. How do you spell lieutenant?
Here, I'll write it down for you.
Thank you, Elliot. I told Daddy all about Judy's kitten and you, and how Judy's kitten jumps off the chair and then pounces down on his ball. I wish I could draw him. Elliot, can you draw?
No. Well, I can try, I suppose. Here, give me a paper.
You look so long, hunched up over there on the stool. Will I ever be as tall as you?
Oh, good heavens, no. Women shouldn't be taller than, about to here.
Like Anne, you mean? You like her lots, don't you?
Yes, I guess I do.
You never kissed me the way you kissed her last night.
Candy, you weren't...
Peeking? I didn't mean to, Elliot. Mr. Moon was shining in on my bed, and he called me to see how nice he had painted things. So I went to the window. It looked very nice, you kissing Anne. Elliot, I have a request to make of you.
Fire away.
Kiss me like that. You didn't kiss Anne on the forehead. Now let me see the picture you drew of Judy's kitten. Why, it's beautiful, Elliot. I must show Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian!
Yes, Candy?
Look at the picture Elliot drew. Isn't it super?
Yes, Candy. It most certainly is.
Oh, there's Jimmy delivering papers. I always help him on this street. I'll be back very soon, Elliot.
That is an excellent sketch, Elliot.
Frankly, Doctor, I'm as surprised as you are. When I started, I didn't think I was going to be able to do anything with it, but, well...
Well, remember what I said about time?
I know, Doctor. Time and nature. Well, that's one bet I hope you'll win. Dr. Christian's home.
Is that you, Elliot?
Oh, yes, Anne.
I have heartbreaking news, Elliot. Dick, Candy's father, has been killed in a motor car accident in Japan. The telegram came this morning.
Poor little Candy. Have you told her?
Oh, that's the worst of it, Elliot. My housekeeper and I were talking about it when I came in about an hour ago, and well, we were wondering just how to break it to Candy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she must have been in the house and overheard because the children next door say she came running out and looking very funny. And Elliot, we can't find her. We've searched everywhere.
I'll be right over, Anne. Perhaps I can get Dr. Christian to come with us. This is the last place I can think of where she might be. She used to pretend to go fishing off the bank of this brook.
Oh, that little girl all alone with her grief. Only we can find her. I brought a letter her father asked me to give her in case anything did happen to him.
Oh, there she is, down on the bank.
Oh, God. Is she all right?
Just asleep, I think. Worn herself out with crying. And she's cold as ice.
Here, wrap my sweater around her.
Candy. Candy.
Oh, Elliot. My daddy's dead. We won't ever hear from him anymore.
Please, darling, try not to cry again.
Your daddy was a brave soldier, Candy. He'd want you to be a soldier, too.
Anne has a letter your daddy left with her for you. Would you like to have Elliot read it for you?
Another letter from Daddy? Read it, please do, Elliot.
Very well. Here, let me sit down here beside you. It begins, My dear little girl, when you read this, your world will look very black, I know. You'll cry over me a little, and I wouldn't have it otherwise. But you must not waste yourself in grief. You may not quite understand this, Candy, until you're a little older, but I want to say it anyway. There are times when the world is not all we would have it, when it's easy to turn away in disgust from all the senseless cruelty and tragedy we see. But you must remember, darling, that you and I, all human beings, are the world. It can be good or bad only as we strive to shape it. I joined the battle against evil because I wanted you to grow up in a free and happy world. Make your little corner of it worth the living, Candy. Then I too shall be happy.
Seems as if Daddy were here right now.
I'm sure he's near us, dear.
I think he'd be glad to know that we three will be together always. You, Anne, and I.
Are you going to marry us then?
Anne will say yes.
He knows what I'll say, Candy. Yes, it's we three together. For always.
So that's what it means when you kiss a girl like that.
And no more tailspins, Elliot?
I'm flying smooth again, Dr. Christian. Ceiling unlimited. Visibility excellent.
God's in his heaven and all's right with your world.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. But first, a word from Judy Price.
Among the unsung heroes of this war must certainly be listed the medical corps of our Army and Navy. To them goes the credit for quietly saving countless lives, for perfecting new treatments, techniques, and therapies that remain for the benefit of all of us. For just one type of casualty, serious burn cases, the medical staff developed a new treatment that turned thousands of serious battle burn casualties into truly remarkable recoveries. This marvelously effective treatment includes the surface application of petroleum jelly. Yes, petroleum jelly. And you probably have the world's leading brand, Vaseline petroleum jelly, in your medicine cabinet right now. So when anyone in your family suffers a minor burn, remember you have the tested, reliable aid right in your own home. Vaseline petroleum jelly. Just spread Vaseline petroleum jelly on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bandage firmly, not tightly. If the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call a doctor. And remember this, though there are many petroleum jellies on the market, only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. Tonight's sympathetic and appealing play was written by a school teacher of Devon, Connecticut, Evelyn L. Homer, and she has written a number of other Dr. Christian plays. Few families can afford to fight infantile paralysis alone. But the March of Dimes Fund, contributed by older people, makes possible immediate modern medical care for all the afflicted. So give as much as you possibly can to this vital campaign. Send your dimes and dollars to your local March of Dimes headquarters today. Next week, we present a new prize play called Requiem for a Hero by Robert P. Tolan of South Boston, Massachusetts. We also expect to announce the details of the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1946. Don't miss this program next Wednesday evening. Same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Cracked lip? Want a tip? Vaseline Lip Ice. Healing begins almost instantly. Get Vaseline Lip Ice tonight. Only 10 or 25 cents at drugstores. For quick relief, quick healing, Vaseline Lip Ice. Remember, details about the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1946 will be given on the Dr. Christian program next week. Art Gilmore speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.